Today on Theologically Thinking, we'll hear from Father Athanasios Charos of the Transfiguration of Our Savior Greek Orthodox Church in Florence, South Carolina.
I have never served in the military. I have never gone off to war. I don't know what it is to live in a country that doesn't have freedom. And still, I can celebrate March 25th. Because March 25th, my brothers and sisters, is more than just Greek Independence Day. As a matter of fact, long before it was Greek Independence Day, it was, well, we might want to call it Human Independence Day. Because a long time before the Greeks declared their independence from the Ottoman Turks, the world received much greater news. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what we're celebrating today. So I don't know what it's like to go off to war. But I can imagine some things. I can imagine that in those days in the 1800s, so many Greeks, our ancestors for most of us here, so many of them being oppressed, not being free even to go out into public and declare their faith in God. The news must have traveled pretty quickly, saying the revolution is going to begin. We have decided to stand up to the Turks. We have decided that the time has come to bring freedom back to our people. I can imagine that that must have been an exciting time for the Greek people. But I can imagine it also must have been a nervous time. A time of wondering, how long will the war take? What kind of death and destruction will the war bring upon our people? But there's something about freedom, my brothers and sisters, that brings the courage and the best out in every human being. And that is because God, from the creation of the universe, gave us freedom. And no one can take that away. No one can take our freedom from us. It is only we that give it away. So here in this wonderful feast of our church, we have joined together the glorious celebration of Greek Independence Day with the even more glorious celebration of the good news of the Archangel Gabriel. And for the same reasons, I can imagine that when news began to travel, there was some excitement. Now, at first, the news was very quiet. But immediately we see in the Gospel that Mary, after she has conceived through the Holy Spirit, she goes to visit her elderly cousin Elizabeth, who is pregnant at the time with John the Baptist. And immediately when Mary greets her cousin, now this is something that you have to understand, Elizabeth went running to Mary to greet her. Elizabeth was the elderly cousin. It would have been unheard of for an elderly person to come running to a young girl and to greet her the way Elizabeth did. But Elizabeth knew better than we do that what was inside the womb there was God. And so Elizabeth began to feel the excitement from her very womb when John the Baptist jumped up and down for joy. It must have been exciting. But we know it also must have been nervous for the Panagia. Because she says to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man? How can this be," Mary says, "that I am going to conceive a son? I'm a virgin." Now, there have been other miracle conceptions in the Old Testament. We know that through the power of God, Abraham and Sarah brought Isaac into the world, but they had relations. We know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Zechariah and Elizabeth brought John the Baptist into the world, but they had relations. Mary, on the other hand, a unique miracle by God. Now, she says, how can this be? And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, the power of the Highest, will overshadow you. Now that's something very special. But just as anything, I can imagine she must have been nervous. What is this going to mean for me in my life? What kind of struggle do I have ahead of me to bring this child into the world when I am a virgin? And so the Lord, knowing how difficult it might be, brought her comfort in the person of Joseph. Joseph was himself an old man, and because he was a widower, he had children, he had a family, and he agreed to take the Panagia, to take the Virgin Mary into his family as his own wife, but he never had relations with her. She was always a virgin. But he took her so she didn't have to worry about the anxiety of being this miracle mother. She would have been seen by the society as just a regular woman who had a son. And that too, we have to realize that when something is so special, when God has anointed something wonderful to happen, even though we may feel a little anxiety inside, even though we may not realize ahead of time what kind of struggle is coming our way, the Greeks clearly could not have known how many years it would take to fight off the Turks. And yet, they embarked upon this mission of freedom one day at a time, one battle at a time, winning little by little, until finally, with the help of other nations and pressure, they were recognized by the rest of the world as their own country. So Greece didn't have to go it alone in the 1800s. Mary didn't have to go it alone 2,000 years ago. And my brothers and sisters, neither do we. You see, we're sitting here in the exact same situation as the Greeks of 1821. We may not realize it, but we are living under oppression. And I'm not speaking about the United States Congress. I'm talking about the devil. The devil has his thumb, and every time that we try and appreciate and defend and embrace freedom from him, he's going to try to keep us down. He's going to try and make us question, is it really worth that struggle? I mean, is freedom from sin really worth the struggle of fighting against the society? For having my friends think I'm not cool? The devil puts these thoughts in our head. Just as the Greeks would have thought, is it really worth it to fight against the Turks? The Greeks knew that it was. And my brothers and sisters, we have to know the time has come for us to realize that it is worth struggling against the devil. It is worth it when we stand up to our friends and our co-workers and sometimes even our family who thinks, why are you being so super spiritual? Why do you care about God so much? Come on, let's just go fishing for a change. We have to know, as the Panagia did, that when we are looking for our salvation, when we are fighting something as tempting as the devil, God is there with us. And He has given us a partner. He has given us somebody to watch over us, to guide us, to protect us. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Lord says, will come upon the church. He says this in the Gospel of John. He says, and He will be a comfort to you, guiding you into all truth. How wonderful is that? Just as military armies have advisors and allies, we, average Christians, have an ally in the Holy Spirit. And we have partners and advisors in the Church of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, we are going to have a wonderful celebration today. We are going to celebrate the fight for independence by a great people, the Greeks. The Greeks who brought so many wonderful things to the world that we can't even begin to identify all of them. Because everywhere we look in society, there's something that the Greeks have left behind. No one can take that away. No government, no demon, no angel sent from the devil can take away the wonderful things that the Greek people have given to the entire civilized world. But we have given to the world, my brothers and sisters, something greater than democracy. Something greater than what the world recognizes. We have given the world the Church of Christ. You see, when Christ announced His coming 2,000 years ago, He came first into the Jewish people. But how was that message brought to the entire world? It wasn't brought to the world in cryptic Jewish texts. The good news of Christ's salvation, the good news that God has come to defeat the oppressor, God has come so that we can join His army, and that we can fight against the devil, and that we can live forever, that good news rode on the backs of the Greek culture and the Greek world for the entire globe to experience. That is what we're celebrating today, my brothers and sisters. Our ancestors in 1821 did not stand up to the Turks so we could make baklava and souvlaki. Anybody can make food. Our ancestors stood up to the Turks so we could worship God as He always intended us to. And that is why, when it came time for the people to rise up, where did they go? To the church. They went to God and said, please help us defend and fight and get our freedom back. And God is there for us. But now it's our turn, my brothers and sisters. It's our turn to take the wonderful lessons that we have in the celebration of Greek Independence Day, combined with the greater celebration of the announcement by the Archangel Gabriel that God was going to come into the world. It is time for us to take that wonderful message and scream it from the housetops, so that anybody who desires freedom, and I'm not talking about freedom to make a dollar, I'm talking about freedom from the devil, freedom from depression, freedom from all of these struggles that the world brings upon us. If we know of anybody who needs that kind of freedom, it's time for us to take up the banner of the cross, my brothers and sisters. And to proclaim God's freedom and encourage people and invite them to join His army so we can defeat the devil at his game and live forever. This is why the Greeks chose March 25th as their symbolic declaration of independence. Because the Greeks knew much better than we do today the power of God's gospel. Let's take that power and let's spread it and declare it and give glory to God.
You've been listening to Theologically Thinking with Father Athanasios Charos. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.